Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. News even reached the celestial planets about Maharaj Yudhishthira's worldly possessions, the sacrifices by which he would attain a better destination, his queen, his stalwart brothers, his extensive land, his sovereignty over the planet Earth, and his fame, etc. Purport. Only a rich and great man's name and fame are known all over the world, and the name and fame of Maharaj Yudhishthira reached the higher planets because of his good administration, worldly possessions, glorious wife Draupadi, the strength of his brothers Bhima and Arjuna, and his solid sovereign power over the world known as Jambudvipa. Here the word lokaha is significant. There are different lokas or higher planets scattered all over the sky, both material and spiritual. A person can reach them by dint of his work in the present life, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 9:25. No forceful entrance is allowed there. The tiny material scientists and engineers who have discovered vehicles to travel over a few thousand miles in outer space will not be allowed entrance. That is not the way to reach the better planets. One must qualify himself to enter into such happy planets by sacrifice and service. Those who are sinful in every step of life can expect only to be degraded into animal life, to suffer more and more the pangs of material existence. And this is also stated in Bhagavad Gita 16:19. Maharaj Yudhishthira's good sacrifice and qualifications were so lofty and virtuous that even the residents of the higher celestial planets were already prepared to receive him as one of them. Om Adnanti Vrandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this discussion is continuation of the discussion that Shukdev Goswami is having to discuss. Actually, it is Suta Goswami who is having this discussion with the sages of Naimisharanya, Shaunaka and others. And this particular verse describes the situation before the birth of Maharaj Parikshit. This verse is, it's very beautiful because it shows us how Maharaj Yudhishthira, who was a grihastha, who was a married man, lived his life. Sampadaha krutavo loka. Sampadaha. Maharaj Yudhishthira had many, many opulences. The list of his opulences are provided here. Kratavaha. Kratavaha, it's in plural, many. He performed many sacrifices, like Rajasuya Yajna, which qualified him to become the emperor of the entire Jambudvipa. Mahishi, he had the best of wife. Who was his wife? Draupadi. It's a singular case, Mahishi. So one wife is mentioned here. That one wife was, she surpassed any other women on the three planets. So that was Draupadi. Not only did he have the power of sacrifice, his pious credits, and a beautiful wife, he also had the strength, bhrataraha, it's in plural, strength of the brothers. Even in the Bhagavad Gita we see, it's mentioned, how the brothers like Bhima, Arjuna, Samayudhi, Bhima, Arjuna, etc. One who has brothers like them, what else does one need? So Maharaj Yudhishthir had brothers like Bhima, Arjuna and others. As if that was less, he also had Jambudvipa Adhipatyam. Adhipatyam means to rule. Jambudvipa. So this Jambudvipa, it is said that this universe is made of different planetary systems. And the central plane of the universe is Bhumandala. This Bhumandala, on this Bhumandala, there are different islands. And of the seven islands, seven dvipas, the central dvipa, the central island, which was ruled by Maharaj Agnidra, is known as Jambudvipa. On that Jambudvipa, there are nine khandas, nine portions. And one of those portions, the southernmost portion, is Bharatvarsha, is the Mahi that is referred to there in the second line. So not only did he have, so Sampadaha, his opulence was Kritavaha, he had incredible pious credits. Lokaha, he was in charge of all the planetary systems. So what was his domain? What was his domain? The entire, all the planetary systems. He had a beautiful wife, many brothers who were strong, rule of the entire planet Earth. And not only that, Jambudvipa Adhipatyam cha. He ruled, his reach was on the entire Jambudvipa. Yashascha Tridivam Gatam. And his glories were known in the three planets. Sounds like the most powerful man ever. Which is true. Because Arjuna, he once supported Indra and even fought with him and with Varuna. So everyone knew that this is Maharaj Yudhishthira's brother. So in this way, his glories were known even in the planets of the demigods. Such a personality, if we have even a little bit of that, you know, if we have some pious credits, if we have a little house which is 4 or 5 bedrooms, if we have a wife who is beautiful when she was young, if we have one brother or one sister or one friend who can help us when we are in need, if we have power in the temple or in the workplace that we work in, and if we feel that we can control others, even if it is just our children or somebody much junior than us, and if even if we have fame just in a very small circle, we feel so powerful. This personality had all of this. Not comparable in the three worlds. However, what was his own personal disposition towards this? So Vamshidhara, one of the commentators, he says, Nishprihatvam evaha sampada iti. He starts his commentary with these words. That although Yudhishthira Maharaj had all of this, he desired none of it. He did not work for any of this. He did not want any of this. Without wanting, he was given all this. Why was he given? He was given all this by the mercy of the Lord. So the next verse, in fact, answers why he was so disinterested. in all of his possessions. Somebody who has, you know, we have a little thing we can't let go of. We have a little possession, a little pride, a little ego, which can be crushed in no time, but we cannot give it up. Like the king who was drowning, but had forgotten his crown in the boat, shouted out to his minister, "You fool, put the crown on!" instead of asking him to save him. Out of pride. Some possession we have, we want to keep it. Yeah. Yudhishthira Maharaj wants to do nothing with it. Completely disinterested. Why was he disinterested? The next verse of Bhagavatam speaks about his disinterest. He says, Suta Goswami continues to say, Kim te kama suraspaarha. What is the purpose of all of these desirable things? These are all desirable things of this world. What is the purpose? Suraspaarha, he says. These things are not just desired by ordinary mortals. They are desired even by the immortals, even by the demigods. But Mukunda Manaso Dvijah, O Brahmanas, this person Yudhishthir had nothing to do with it. Why? Mukunda Manaso Dvijah Adhi Jaharuhu Mudam Radnyah. Because his mind, Mukunda Manaso Mudam, his mind, his heart, Yudhishthir Maharaj's mind and heart, was intent on pleasing the Supreme Lord Mukunda. So the only thing that he was interested in was not any of this, but to satisfy Mukunda, the Supreme Lord. So what was the situation like? The last line of the next verse is very, very beautiful. It says, Shuditasya yathet, itare, anything else. The English word other comes from Sanskrit the word itara, which means other. Anything other than food does not satisfy kshudita. Kshudita means one who is desperately hungry. If we are desperately hungry and somebody says, well, have a nice car, have this palatial mansion, it does not satisfy us, because the hunger is only satisfied with the food. So the example given here is that Maharaj Yudhishthir, his only hunger was to please Mukunda. So he was on the path of pleasure. This path of devotional service is a path of pleasure. It's the pleasure of the Lord. Not our pleasure. The pleasure of the Lord. And in perfection, we please the Lord. And that perfection gives us pleasure. We do not endeavor for our own pleasure. We endeavor to please the Lord. And when the Lord is pleased, we are automatically pleased. This is the path of pleasure. Pleasure of the Lord. That is the next verse. Because Maharaj Yudhishthir was on the path of pleasure, pleasure of the Lord, he completely disregarded all of his possessions. Then one may ask, why would someone who has completely disregarded all his possessions continue to remain in householder life? Why does Maharaj Yudhishthir not give up everything immediately, instantly, walk out of the kingdom and take renunciation? So it is explained by Sri Baldev Vidyabhushan, whom Srila Prabhupada when he wrote the Bhagavad Gita, he dedicates the Bhagavad Gita to Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan, a great acharya who wrote a commentary on Vedanta Sutra called Govinda Bhashya. Baldev Vidyabhushan in his Govinda Bhashya, he says, amongst the adhikaris, amongst those who have the qualification to perform devotional service, there are three types. The devotees have been divided into three categories. The first one is called Sanishtha. Sanishtha is a category of person or persons who want to perform devotional service, who want to do things in bhakti, but also wishes to enjoy the pleasures of this world and the pleasures of heaven. So one is chanting one's rounds, but also then thinking, well, I can't miss today's football match. That's also one category. That's one category of devotee. A higher category of devotee is called Parinishthita. Parinishthita is a person who performs devotional service and nothing but devotional service. However, he or she lives in the outside world and also have duties to perform to sustain their house, their family, their own body. These are generally grihasthas, grihasthas like Maharaj Yudhishthir, who perform the duties. They externally perform their duties, but internally, only and only, are connected to the Lord. And the third variety is nirapeksha, is the sannyasi, who has no external work to perform, and is fully engaged in devotional service alone. Maharaj Yudhishthir is the Parinishthita Bhakta, who is, although a grihastha, performing all his duties diligently. So one may ask, why should one perform one's duties? Why does one need to perform one's duties? Because in every stage of life, whether we are brahmacharis, we are grihasthas or vanaprasthis or sannyasis, the duties that have been ordained in the ashram purify our hearts. So these duties are purifying duties. When a person who is really just wanting to chant and be in the temple and jump in the kirtan and relish the prasadam is sent out to work in his workplace, surrounded by people he does not think know the goal of life. It's hard. It's very difficult. But nonetheless, he performs his duty out of the realization that by performing this duty, I will be purified. So the duties ordained in the various ashrams are purifying. As a lady, a woman who has children, raising the children, giving everything for the children are grateful sometimes. Most of the times they are unbearable. And when they grow up, they don't listen. You do so much and you don't even get less heard. So, it's purifying. The ego has been crushed. The attachment has been slowly vanquished, finished. Between husband and wife, there are moments of happiness and moments of distress, and there is pleasure and pain, and it's the tolerance. It's purifying. So every ashram is purifying. So why does Yudhishthira Maharaj remain in his ashram? To perform purifying duties. He's duty bound. And we see this instruction given by Lord Chaitanya to Kurma Brahmana. Lord Chaitanya was touring South India, and when he was in South India, he was visiting different devotees' houses and ordering prasadam. One such personality who invited Lord Chaitanya was the Brahmana in Kurumakshetra. He was known as the Kurma Brahmana. He invited Lord Chaitanya for prasadam. Lord Chaitanya had prasadam, and after having prasadam, Mahaprabhu was so happy. He wanted to give his blessings to Kurma Brahmana. And what was the blessing that Kurma Brahmana asked? In Madhya Leela chapter 7, 126 onwards, we find Kurma Brahmana asks, Kripa karo prabhu more jao toma sange sohite na pari dukha bishayatarange. Please have this mercy on me, O Mahaprabhu. Allow me to follow you. I'm a householder. I've got a wife and I've got children and I've got work to do outside, and it's just a bit too much. Let me give it all up and just follow you. Please allow me. Give me this mercy. I am suffering in this world. What does Mahaprabhu tell him? Come on, follow me. He doesn't say that. Like Maharaj Yudhishthir, Kurma Brahmana was a grihastha who had to perform his purifying duties. But Mahaprabhu gives three beautiful instructions. Mahaprabhu says, Prabhu kohe aiche baat, kabhu na kohibo. Never say like this. Never ask these kind of things. Don't ask me to leave your house, whether you should leave your house or not. Grihe rahi Krishna nama nirantara laibo. Stay at home. Stay at home. Be purified. And always take the name of Krishna. So what is the first instruction? The first instruction is engage oneself in bhakti, remaining at home. The next instruction, which everyone quotes, but do we know that it was actually given to a grihastha by Mahaprabhu? Prabhupada quotes this hundreds and hundreds of times. Jara dekho tarakoho Krishna upadesha. Amar adnyai guru hoya tarahaya desha. By my order, deliver this entire world. Give Krishna to whoever you meet. Speak about Krishna. So the first instruction is engage yourself while you remain in your householder life. The second instruction is engage others. And the third instruction is also very important. The third instruction is Kabhuna badhive tomar bishaya taranga punarapi ei thai pabe mora sanga. Please never increase, expand your material desires. Because when you're a grihastha, you could have a simple life, or you could have a large life, or you can have a larger than large life. You know, you could do what you want. See, in this world, there are only two ways of living. One is expanding more and more and more and more. And the other is reducing less and less and less and less. Mahaprabhu says, do not expand materially. Expand spiritually when you are in your householder life. And contract materially, slowly, start to live with less and less. Oh, but all my life I need. No. If all your life you need something, Mahaprabhu's instruction is, we need to work hard to reduce. So don't expand materially, expand spiritually. So three things Mahaprabhu said. Engage others. Before that, engage yourself. Engage yourself, engage others, and expand spiritually when you are in householder life. Purifying duties is what you perform. And then further, one may ask, well, what is the importance of grihastha life? What is the importance of life lived outside the boundaries of the temple? So the importance of grihastha life is mentioned in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, first chapter, verse 17. In fact, it's a very bold statement, a beautiful one as well. Bhayam pramattasya vaneshvapi syat. If out of fear that one will not be able to practice devotional service, one gives everything up and goes to the forest, even that person who has given everything up and gone to the forest, yataha sa aaste sahashat supatnya. If he is endeavoring alone in the forest, he should know that he is not alone. He is accompanied by his shat pat sapatnaha, six co-wives. Everyone is followed everywhere. Even when we think we are alone, we actually with six wives. We all have wives, even brahmacharis do. So, who are these six wives? So they are variously described as either mind and the five senses are with us, even in the forest. Our mind and our senses disturb us. Or it's described as the six impurities or challenges that we all face. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsarya. These don't go away. Just because we are in the brahmachari ashram or the vanaprastha ashram or the sannyas ashram. No. These don't go away. Even if we are in the forest surrounded by no one. Like Shobhari Muni, he was all by himself. He didn't know, he didn't even want to be in the forest because there was chirping of the birds and cooing of the, you know, and different sounds that disturb you. So he wanted to be in the bottom of the Yamuna, meditating alone. But what then happened? He saw two little fish. His eyes were half closed and he saw two little fish right in front of his eyes. And they were mating with each other. He just saw that. And he desired to have a wife, not one, but hundreds of them. And a big palace. And a kingdom. It all started with just two fish. The verse says, yataha sa aaste sahasat sapatnaha. As long as one is with these six wives, jitendriyasyatma rater buddhasya grihashramaha kimnu karotyavadyam. If one is in the forest but does not have control over these six wives, one is doomed. But even if one lives in the house, as a householder, and learns to control and disconnect from these six wives, even though he's in the house or she's in the house, then grihashramaha kimnu karoti avadyam, then what can grihastha life, what harm can such grihastha life do? So grihastha life is a practice ground for our perfection. Grihastha life is not meant for enjoyment. It's not a license to do what we wish. It's actually meant to be a practice ground for perfection. And you know, in a practice ground, we do many duels and fights, and sometimes we win and sometimes we lose. And by doing so, we come out victorious eventually. So grihastha life that Maharaj Yudhishthira lived was his practice ground for the perfection that he was aiming for. As Srila Prabhupada would quote, there was a beautiful poetry written, I think it's called The Rainbow. Have you heard of it? By William Wordsworth. It's a beautiful poem. It was written in 1802. Only a few lines, but very, very instructive. And one of the lines is very famous, and Prabhupada would quote it. The child is father of the man. The child is father of the man. But you have to read the poem to understand what William Wordsworth is trying to say. He's saying, the poem is titled The Rainbow. He's saying the rainbow existed before I was born. The rainbow was fascinating for me when I was a child. And now I'm a man, and the rainbow still fascinates me. So my fascination as a child still carries forward today when I'm a man. The things that I did as a child have made me the man I am today, and hence the child is father of the man. It's a beautiful way that he puts it. And Srila Prabhupada would quote this. Similarly, the things that one did in the grihastha ashram, the training one received, became the perfection that one attained. And we see this in the life of Srila Prabhupada himself. In fact, one of the most beautiful documentaries of Prabhupada by a very famous Indian, actually, he's also made some Hollywood movies, is the person's name, Shyam Benegal. He did this documentary for Prabhupada. And the documentary is titled Prabhupada, A Lifetime in Preparation. When his godbrothers were doing so many things, Prabhupada was a grihastha, keeping a very low key. He would speak sometimes at the Gaudiya Math. When he was invited, he would. But he would keep a low key. But internally, he was preparing. He was preparing all his life for the big moment. So a lifetime in preparation. That is what grihastha ashram is. To prepare. And we don't just prepare. The grihastha ashram does not prepare oneself. You know, people generally prepare for, you prepare for the exams, which is the future. When we think of preparation, what do we think? We think of the future, right? We all prepare for the future. But actually, in spiritual life, we prepare for the past, we prepare for the present, and we prepare for the future. How does one prepare for the past and the present? Huh? By chanting, yes. That's the practical way of doing it. But what it means by preparing for the past, the present, and the future is we prepare for accepting the reactions of our past. And you see that in all ashrams, in all stages of life, we prepare for the present circumstances and we are prepared for the future failures. So we prepare. And that's what Maharaj Yudhishthira was doing. He was preparing, being completely detached from the superficial grihastha life that he was put in. And while we prepare in the grihastha ashram, there are three important instructions, three things that we all do, or are all advised to do by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets this beautiful young boy in Shantipur over a period of 7 days. He's young, he's a teenager. He wants to give up. He's so impressed by Mahaprabhu's mission and Mahaprabhu's instructions that he wants to give up all his possessions, leave his house, and join Mahaprabhu. Who's this boy? He's a prince. Yes. He's a prince. He's a young prince. He has a beautiful wife. He has a mountain of gold coins, a huge land to look after, a palatial house, a wonderful family, and surrounded by friends. He wants to give up. Maharaj Yudhishthira, with all that he possessed, this personality was similar. Young boy. He wanted to give everything up. His name was Raghunath. He asked Mahaprabhu, how will I be able to fool the guards who are guarding my house? My father's been told by an astrologer, your son will be a renunciate. Ever since he's heard this, he feels very, very pained. And he wants to make sure I don't escape. So he's got me married. He gives me, even before I can ask for it, just by my thinking about it, the possession is there. Whatever I require is there. He wants to make sure I never leave. And he's put these huge guards outside my room. How do I escape, Mahaprabhu? Somehow I managed to be here. And Mahaprabhu says, be in your house. He says in Madhya Leela 16:37, he says, sthira hoya ghare jao, sthira hoya, be patient, ghare jao, go home. Naho batula, don't be a fanatic. Don't be mad. Go home. And be patient. Krame krame paya loka bhava sindhu kula. Sorry. Yeah. Sthire hoya ghare jao na ho batula. Krame krame paya loka bhava sindhu kula. Slowly and slowly, you shall come out of this situation. Be patient. Grihastha ashram, the most important thing to do is to be patient. To cultivate the patience. There are, in all phases of life, in all our ashrams, we have to cultivate patience. And the patience we cultivate is a positive patience. What is positive patience? It's not a reluctant, grudging, unfortunate, you know, miserable patience that we cultivate. Oh, some, you know, I somehow have to tolerate all this and bear this. And no, we have a positive patience, a patience which is fed by the hope. The hope of ultimately seeing the situation through by the mercy of the Lord. So it's positive patience. One may not be able to do what one wants in life now, But if one is patient, like Prabhupada, preparing patiently. He had a wife and he had children and he had a business. Patient. A day will come. That's what Mahaprabhu is telling Raghunath. And Mahaprabhu also told Mukunda. Mukunda was one of Mahaprabhu's associates in Navadvip. He told Mukunda, you are a doctor. Your job is to be a doctor and treat your patients. And he is to be the doctor in chief of a Muslim king. And Mahaprabhu said, you be a doctor. You live like a doctor. But while you live like a doctor, don't just earn money, but earn something else as well. What did Mahaprabhu say? In chapter 15, 130, we see Mahaprabhu says, Mukundere kohe puna madhura bachana, tomar karjo dharme dhana uparjana, tomar karjo dharma dhana uparjana. You should pile up. So in preparation, in the grihastha ashram, what does one do? One piles up. Piles up what? Piles up wealth, but also piles up spiritual wealth, both material wealth and spiritual wealth. Like Maharaj Yudhishthir, he didn't just pile up material wealth, he also piled up spiritual wealth. So that's the first point. There are three beautiful points. The first point, in preparation, when one lives outside, is to pile up. We are constantly piling up. But if we only pile up material wealth, then we are doomed. So we pile up material wealth as it comes and spiritual wealth. And then the second is, we be patient. And the third, Mahaprabhu tells Raghunath, Markato vairagya nakoro loka dekhai, jatha jogya bishaya bhunja anashakta hai. Don't be a renunciate externally. Don't perform vairagya externally like a markata, like a monkey. You know, a monkey lives in the forest, does not even have clothes on, only eats fruits, sleeps under a different tree every night. What a renunciate, is he? Except he has at least 100 wives. And he is constantly looting whatever he sees. He can't control his senses. But yeah, externally, he's like a renunciate. So Prabhupada says, this is markata vairagya. Don't be a monkey renunciate. Sometimes Prabhupada would call it smashan vairagya. Smashan vairagya means, when one goes to the crematorium, when one sees the body is burning, the people who are gathered, they say, oh, ultimately, why am I doing what I'm doing? Ultimately, the destination of this body is here on the funeral pyre. And my body shall be burnt. Why should I bother? And one feels very renounced. But as soon as one leaves the crematorium, one is back to whatever one was doing. This is superficial renunciation. And sometimes Prabhupada would call it Phalgu Vairagya. Phalgu means there's a river in India which is called the Phalgu River. On the surface, the Phalgu River looks like it is steady. But underneath, there is a huge current. So if you go, you might think, well, this river is so calm, peaceful. It's barely flowing. But if you enter inside, you'll be pushed. So superficially, very calm. But inside, one is bubbling with so many things. So Mahaprabhu says, don't pose externally. Imbibe principles internally. And what we do is we externally we behave like we are yogis. And internally we are bogies. Oh, I wish somebody is going to say, Haribol, Prabhu, what a class. Haribol, wonderful kirtan. Oh, look at your sari. I wish I had one like that. Oh, your hairstyle. I mean, I have no hair. I wish I had hair. Internally, we feel like that. Externally, oh, I'm so renounced. I'm a yogi. Internally, bogi. But Mahaprabhu gives the principle, and this is the last instruction Mahaprabhu gives. He says to Raghunath Das Goswami, Antare nishtha koro baiha loko byavahar. Internally, you have firm faith in the principles that you follow. You imbibe them internally. But externally, koro loko vyavahar. Loko vyavahar, just act like everyone else normally. Externally, they may think, this is another bogey. Just see. Externally, let them think you are an ordinary person. Just go around doing your things ordinarily. But internally, become firm in your principles. Antare nishtha koro bahya loko vyavahar achirat krishna tomai koribe uddhar. If you continue doing this externally, if I read this sampadaha, all opulences kratavaha lokaha mahishi bhrataro mahi wah. So even if I go just so far, that's too much externally, too much. Externally going on with wonderful pious activities, control over the kingdoms, a beautiful wife, strong family and friends, the entire earth at one's disposal. And reach up to the Jambudvipa and fame in the three worlds. Wow, externally. But the next verse talks about internally. Internally, antare nishtha koro. Internally, he was deeply committed to mukunda manasaha mudam. The next verse says, to satisfy Shri Hari Mukunda. So that is the purpose of Grihastashram, which is so wonderfully explained in this verse of Bhagavatam. Okay, thank you very much. Any other questions, comments, corrections? Anyone?